You're here on 2SER 107.3. That was Naked Him by Laura Veirs. And before that was Cool Sounds by Like That. No, wait, sorry. Like That by Cool Sounds. I can words. Anyway, it is 45 minutes past 9, and we have with us, live in the studio, one of the academics from a competition called 3-Minute Thesis, where entrants are challenged to reduce their 80,000-word thesis, which typically takes 9 hours to present, down to a 3-minute video. So 9 hours to 3 minutes. We're joined by Macquarie Uni's Ruby Stevens from the Faculty of Science and Engineering. Ruby, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Not a problem at all. Now, congratulations. You won the competition out of the whole of Macquarie. You then competed in the 2022 Asia Pacific semi-final. How does that feel?
Pretty nifty.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's pretty nice when you like sit by yourself in a room on a computer for months and months and months and months. And then you can actually talk to people about it and they're like, oh, that's actually interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I would imagine so. But you did have to just send in a video this time, didn't you?
Yeah. So we got to do live in-person heats at first, but all the sort of the larger scale ones were all online in
sure.
recorded videos.
So. And how was that contrast as well?
You get a lot less energy when you're just trying to talk to in this case, my phone, propped up awkwardly on like a pile of books so that I could record in my bedroom.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And so what's been the focus of your research in the last couple of years?
It's very large scale ecology and evolution, and particularly around flowers, basically.
Nice. And so something that you mentioned in your 3-minute thesis video really interested me because I've only ever thought of bees and I guess like generally insects as pollinators. But you mentioned wind and water pollinated flowers. What does that mean?
So it's something that is really often overlooked, basically, because sort of the general understanding is like, oh, yeah, pollination, that's just bees.
Yeah.
But sort of beyond bees, there are like so many different insect species that pollinate. And then beyond that, there's even birds and bats. And that's why it's called the birds and the bees. Because it's kind
I've always been like, yeah, bees make sense, but birds, there must be like some other analogy that, no, okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
So it's plant sex, basically. But yeah, that also happens by wind and by water because like sometimes maybe they're, you know, they don't have their pollinators available. It's not quite known. Like we can't go back in the past and be like, why did you change?
Why did you switch
to wind? But
so,
yeah.
But like, what is it like the seed is carried on the wind and that just lands in the right flower? Is that?
So the pollen is carried on the wind.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
And basically it's this really like, it's a bit similar to corals spawning in the ocean. Mm. Like it's just release a lot of pollen.
Yeah.
And hope that some tiny little eddy of wind is going to carry it to the right flower.
Absolutely. So does water pollination only happen in the sea then? Or can that happen through like rain and rivers and stuff?
Water pollination is really rare. There are like in plants, it's not really pollination. In mosses and things, they do use water often to move their gametes around.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
It's kind of like an early version, but in flowering plants, which is what I look at, it is just, it's really rare, basically, because they've started at insect pollination, and then for them to go all the way back to water pollination, it sort of needs like very strong ecological circumstances.
Interesting, okay. And so pollination, obviously, very key to diversification of food and survival of most, if not all, plant species. But we've had a media narrative recently of not taking very good care of our pollinators. How do we do better? And like, what is this narrative? Is it true? Is it getting better?
It's more complicated. You know, I think some of it started with honeybee colony collapse in the United States. Mm. And that was sort of a thing that was really freaking out people who keep honeybees, which is just one species of bee.
Sure, yeah.
And they're a bit like they're a domesticated animal on some level. Like we keep them in hives and, you know, and that, but the fact that they were just turning up dead all over the place kind of started people going, oh no.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that I think there's a lot of narratives people say about like, I used to have so many bugs squished on the windscreen when I was a child and now you don't see it so much.
Yeah.
But the scientific evidence around it is kind of mixed. And I think generally maybe the narrative is better phrased as like, yes, probably pollinators are in trouble, probably a lot of insects. You know, there are declines, similar to the declines in kind of all of our wild places and all of our wild populations of plants and animals. You know, the more we clear, the less habitat there is for your koala, but also the less habitat there are for a whole range of native bees and, all sorts of insects that you maybe don't notice, but they're there.
Absolutely. And I guess that would be pushed on by climate change as well.
Climate change doesn't help. Insecticides, like specifically affecting insects, obviously definitely don't help. If you're spraying an enormous field, you know, with an enormous bucket load of insecticide, a lot of that is going to drift into the surrounding vegetation.
So that
will specifically impact insects.
That's so frustrating. There's so it continues to amaze me exactly how interlocked absolutely everything is in nature. And farming, it really comes down to farming practices quite often. But thank you so much for that. That was a very intriguing interview.